Yesterday on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I spoke with Dan Shapley of Riverkeeper about the Class C protection bill that was recently vetoed by Governor Cuomo. We also discussed how PFAS contamination is currently being handled at the state and federal level, and what we can expect in terms of regulation and response to water quality and contaminated sites in the future. Now, here's more from that conversation where Dan previews the Water Justice event being hosted by the Sanctuary for Independent Media this Friday and Saturday, and what we can expect from those group discussions.
So there's also another aspect of Riverkeeper is the Water Justice Lab that's in collaboration with the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And I heard there's some upcoming events. Can you provide some more information on that?
Yeah, this is an exciting partnership we've been in for about a year now with the Media Sanctuary, so that the sanctuary can set up this Water Justice Lab. And ultimately, that lab will be helping Riverkeeper in partnership to monitor water quality in probably the Upper Hudson River and maybe elsewhere. But for now, it's also doing a lot of education and youth mentoring and radio programs like this produced by youth who are part of the program. So it's really been a great project. And the two events coming up, it's a pair of events on Friday, December 11th and Saturday, December 12th. They're open to the public. You can make a donation, but you can also attend for free. So I encourage people to go to the sanctuary website to find details. Just a little bit about them. On Friday, it's an evening program, 7 to 9. There'll be a land acknowledgement by the Stockbridge Munsee community and some excellent music. There'll be the premiere of a documentary film called Echoes from Loch One, which has been produced by youth and deals with water justice issues in and around Troy. And then there'll be this really excellent panel discussion that includes both the youth fellows from the Water Justice Lab, who are young women from the local high school in Troy, as well as youth from BARC, which is an organization in Kingston, and Groundwork Hudson Valley, an organization in Yonkers. So there'll be a wonderful discussion and kind of comparison of notes across the Hudson River, the length of the Hudson River on topics of environmental justice and water. So that's really exciting. And then on Saturday, it's an afternoon program. Again, this is Saturday, December 12th, 1 to 3 p.m. And on this day, Sachem Hawkstorm from the Scaticoke Nation will be among the kind of featured mentors, and will be working with the youth, and the youth will be working with audience and breakout groups to really think through different aspects of water justice and issues. And I think that'll be a really excellent, exciting dialogue and workshop as well. So I hope people check it out. Go to mediasanctuary.org or riverkeeper.org, and you can find details about the events and how to register.
Great. And do you have any expectations of maybe one of the water justice topics that might come up in the discussion?
That's a great question. I mean, the water justice topic that's closest to my heart and the one that I think about most often is the topic of drinking water source protection. So what you have in New York State is a very common situation where a community that is reliant on that you know whose tap water comes from the environment, as all water does. I'll give you an example. Watervliet, right across the river from Troy, small city, is considered an environmental justice community because you have high proportion of people who are Black, Indigenous, and other people of color, higher rates of poverty. This is a place that is at risk of and likely to have been subjected to multiple types of harm from environmental hazards. And yet their drinking water supply is in neighboring communities completely outside of municipal limits. And so all of the decisions that are made about land use around that water supply that will affect water quality are totally outside of the control of that community. And we see that all over. Most of our small cities have this issue: Newburgh, Peekskill, Troy, etc. And so I think it's a fundamental power imbalance where the people drinking the water are tend to be brown and black and poorer, and the people who have control over the land use tend to be wealthier and whiter. And that's not to say that those people are racist, but it's to say that the system, the structure that has allowed for this and that has set this situation to this point has does have racist underpinnings if you look at housing policies and redlining, et cetera, that has produced this difference in where different people of different race are living, and then on top of that, who has power over the land use around a drinking water supply. So that issue to me is water justice at its heart. There's also important issues around the cost of water and the cost of who bears the cost of upgrading water infrastructure as it's needed, on and on and on. There's so many issues. And one thing that this event will do is to help to draw out from the youth's perspective which ones that they see, which ones really hit home to them.
That's really interesting. Is there an example of how a situation where a community isn't in control of their own water supply, how that has been successfully handled?
Yeah, and it's one that is we expect will be a big issue in the next year. There's a law in the books in New York State called Watershed Rules and Regulations, and what it does is ask the State Department of Health to establish rules for each local community that is reliant on a drinking water source. What has been the case, though, for decades is the state has not updated those rules for smaller communities around the state. Out in the Finger Lakes in Cayuga County, there's a water source called Owasco Lake. It's a lake, and many City of Auburn and other communities rely on it for drinking water. The county there has spent 3 years working with all stakeholders, including farmers and people who live along the lake, to create new rules that will better protect that water supply, which has suffered from harmful algal blooms and has shown other signs of stress that it really needs better protection. Those rules are imminently going to go to the state for approval. And we're going to be mobilizing everyone we can to stand behind Cayuga County, because they're the first ones through the door to ask for these updated rules and regulations that really, at their heart, help to empower the people downstream drinking the water to help protect that water upstream where it starts. And that's the essential thing that they need to do to protect the quality of the water source. And these rules are really an important piece of it. The same law is the bedrock that allows New York City to protect its drinking water supplies far outside of city limits. They are effectively in place for Syracuse. But most other communities around the state, if they have these rules in place at all, they are long out of date and relatively useless. These updates can really bring in a whole new era of better protection of drinking water sources.
It's exciting. And so it seems like it's not a simple answer, but if everyone's brought to the table and people can talk it out, then something.
Yeah, you know, as an advocate, I would love to just say, you know, if it's a water source, if it's a watershed serving a water source, just can't build there. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, hard and fast rules. But the fact is, getting those kinds of rules approved is really difficult. It has to be a stakeholder process. It has to be something that really engages people. And an example of Cayuga County, they have for 3 years been talking with those stakeholders and negotiating and compromising. So the rules that they are putting forward are the result of that long process of compromise, and yet they still represent important new protections, and that's why we want to see them passed by the state.